I want to give Jim the opportunity to comment on any and all of the panelists before we open up for questions. Jim?
I think it would be far better if we went to the questions. I'll just make one remark. I don't want to address the issues of drug legalization because to do justice to either side of that debate really takes an extended presentation, and neither Mr. Higgs had enough time, nor do I have enough time. I disagree with him profoundly, fundamentally. I suspect, from what I've heard, I disagree with many people at the Independent Institute, perhaps many people in this room, certainly almost everybody from the Hoover Institution. I've learned that. But a full cost accounting of the drug war has to take into account the damage that drugs do, including alcohol, as well as the cost of the efforts to suppress them. That cost accounting is difficult to do, but it does not lead, in my view, unambiguously to the argument that the costs of the suppression vastly exceed the costs of the inevitably expanded use that would come from their legalization. We've legalized one drug, alcohol, and as a result, we pay an enormous social cost for it. Mr. Higgs said that this cost is much greater than the cost of occurring from the consumption of all other drugs. That's quite true. The reason is because the others are illegal. The demand and the supply are constrained. Perhaps the best way to leave it is before you make up your own mind on this question, and I think you'll probably make up your mind probably on the basis of your philosophical predispositions, do me one favor. Go to the pediatric ward of a large city or county hospital that takes Medicaid patients. And ask the pediatric nurse to point out to you the crack babies and look at them. And then ask yourself the question, are drugs harming only the person who uses them?
So, are there any questions for Jim or any of the panelists?
Yeah, Professor Wilson, you mentioned the illegitimacy of Charles Murray's previous work, the North Carolina Ground. He had a chart of the illegitimacy rate and kind of rising from 30 around 64, and she made a lot.
That's right.
Now, if you look at Jonathan Rauch, who wrote Panel of Sclerosis, he has charts of the extent to which individuals sue each other. They're not poor people, these are corporations, the number of special interests and advocacy lobbying groups. You can superimpose these, and they look like the same chart. My question to you is it reasonable to say something when fundamentally awry in American society around 1964? Along with these two kinds of mentions, one is just the capitalism that allowed individuals and families to get away with mistakes that they could have never survived earlier. And secondly, an erosion of the concept of personal responsibility in my little Italian-American town of New Jersey, where anyone from Mother Superior to Tony the Crippler just didn't take his case.
Yes. Actually, it wasn't 1964, it was 1963. It was actually on a Tuesday, I think. But if you superimpose on it the rates of automobile theft, homicide, AFDC caseloads, illegitimacy rates, growth in government, and the rise of a youth culture, all occurred at about the same time. Not only in this country, but in most countries, the illegitimacy rate started going up in England within 6 months of when it started going up here. We are in a different world than the one we inherited, and we haven't yet figured out how to put it back together.
For the legalization of drugs, which has occurred in some European countries, now, if that is so successful, then my question, what do our speakers think about the use of the situation of the country where the drugs have been legalized?
Peter Reuter of the RAND Corporation has spent the last 3 years studying. I don't know why this microphone is mad at me. Peter Reuter at the RAND Corporation has studied European experiences with various drug control regimes for the last 3 years. And the last time I saw Peter, which was 2 months ago in Washington, I said, what lessons have you learned? You know, are they doing it better in Spain or the Netherlands or Switzerland? He says, there are no lessons. Every circumstance is so different. And the countries themselves change their minds so quickly. One time in Italy, heroin was decriminalized. Then they recriminalized it. One time in England, they prescribed heroin in government clinics. Then they canceled it and started using methadone instead. Now they're wondering whether they should cancel that. The Netherlands has needle parks. The Netherlands also has a burglary rate that's twice ours. I don't think you can make these comparisons very easily, and I don't think there is any responsible person in these countries that says, is willing to say, we have unambiguously found a solution that ought to be the model for other countries.